Nation with Who1.co.uk presents the 20 Megabyte Doctor Who Podcast.
Hello and welcome to the 20 Megabyte Doctor Who Podcast number 136. And with me this week, oh, by the way, I'm Adam, if anybody didn't know that. And with me this week is Kobe Bartlett Sloan.
I'm waving at that.
Mary Lang.
You want to mate?
And, yeah, and Robert Haynes.
You're taking all the good lines. Hello.
I don't remember anyone saying that.
No, I don't remember either. Right. I'm going to crack straight on with something we don't get a lot of these days.
Money?
It's a dying species. Ian calls it.
Hello, 20 Megabyte Podcast, sponsored by who1.co.uk. In The Angels Take Manhattan, the 11th Doctor went back to see young Amelia, as the 10th Doctor had gone back to see Rose before they had met. Partners in Crime by Russell T Davies. Donna Noble is back, and their grandfather, Wilfred Mott. The 10th Doctor has a full set, blonde, brunette and redhead. RTD is starting another arc with the missing planets. The Adipose are using Earth because their nursery planet has gone missing. The plot is a bit light, but there are some good scenes. The two of them miming through the glass until they are caught. Donna's line, "I am hanging on." At the beginning of the story, the car Donna is driving is registered in Yorkshire. At the end of the episode, the car is registered a year earlier in Hertfordshire. Rose makes a brief visit from her twilight zone. There are 11 weeks to Christmas, so there is enough Donna Noble to last us the rest of the year. Bye for now.
Thank you, Ian.
How noble of him.
And how did you hear that? How was that for you? Did you hear it all right? Because I was playing it through a
computer. Yes.
This time I heard him very well.
I just wondered whether you heard it through the speaker or through iTunes, as I was playing it through iTunes on the Mac. So I'll turn the speaker off and let's see if you can still hear it.
Hello, 20 Megabyte Podcast.
Did you hear that?
No.
I hear nothing.
Okay. Well, I hear nothing.
Clearly it was through the speaker. But anyway, he said he's got a full set he had the full set of companions. When he said that, I thought he was going to talk about singing, the falsetto.
Falsetto.
And, right. Okay, right, this week we're talking about Partners in Crime. Like I say,
Before we move to Partners in Crime, can we finish Angels Take Manhattan? Has everybody seen that little extra piece that was put up online?
Finally, about 6 hours ago.
What extra piece? I haven't seen any extra pieces.
What?
I mean, what? What's that supposed to mean?
Well, the piece that was Rob Williams bit.
The piece that was not filmed, that we got to see the storyboard and hear Arthur Darvill.
No, I haven't heard anything of this.
From The Power of Three, though, wasn't it?
Was it?
Do you not read the 20 Megabyte Doctor Who podcast Facebook page?
I glance at it from time to time.
Well, then you missed a big piece.
Did I?
Yeah.
Oh, dear.
I haven't seen it yet, though, myself. Because I've only been online today.
So what's it all about, then? What's it all about?
Well, it tells what happens to Brian, how he gets the news of what happened to the Pons.
Oh, so how does he get the news about what happens to the
Pons? Well, I mean, do we want to talk about it, or do you guys want to watch it, and we can talk about it next time?
Sorry, you can tell me.
We'll be way behind everyone else, because everyone else on the planet has seen it, except
you
for
guys
Adam
can talk
Pearson.
About it.
Well, and Robert
hasn't seen it either.
Robert hasn't seen it either.
All right, well, if you'd like to say what happened, that's fine. If it's a problem, I'll edit it out.
His grandson comes and delivers the news to him.
Grandson?
Much like the grandson of, was it Janice, who delivered the letter to Sally Sparrow? It was like a repetition of a scene of that sort. The grandson of the Pons delivers a letter to Brian.
Was it anybody you recognized, though?
Well, it's all in storyboard form.
Yeah.
Oh, right.
So it's drawings.
That would have been
nice. It was filmed. They put this out on the BBC website, and I'm sure it's going to end up on the DVD. So as far as I'm concerned, it's canon.
Yeah.
Like I said last night.
When you say they're going to put it out on the DVD, you mean they're going to put the storyboard version of it out on the DVD?
Yes.
Oh, they are, right.
Oh,
yes.
Sure, that's the only way that it exists.
Yes.
But it's very slickly done. And
yes.
It's not just something they slapped together. They just never filmed it.
Yeah, Reese was saying that it touched him more than the actual ending.
Right.
Yeah, I know. I'm just reading some comments from Reese himself and Gareth Lloyd. And some Kirby Bartlett Sloan. Bartlett Sloan bloke.
People who pay attention to the Facebook page.
Yes, well, you've got to bear in mind, I'm very, very busy. Right.
So we are.
No, I'm very, 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 very busy. Okay, right. This is a show that I was talking to talk about, and it's called Partners in Crime, which I've already talked about on...
That's about the podcast, isn't it?
Probably. I've already talked about...
Yeah, didn't we do this already once, a long time ago?
No.
I did it with Alicia on the TARDIS Tavern podcast.
But you guys did do the other episodes that are coming up, I think, towards the end, didn't you? When I was in the hospital, at the beginning of the year, from this series.
Oh, I can't remember.
At the beginning of this year, we were already into re-watching the entire new series.
Right. Yeah, but I think in January...
Like William Shatner this morning. I have no idea.
Anyway, as I was trying to say, Partners in Crime by Russell T. Davis, as Ian very rightly pointed out, this episode, of course...
Did you get this one from whowon.co.uk?
No, we'll talk about them later. But you can get this episode from whowon.co.uk.
Yes, that would be whowon.co.uk.
Yes. But we'll talk about them later.
Wait a minute, did I hear something familiar? Like whowon.co.uk?
I can hear the clock ticking.
Oh, yes. I should be the one pushing you along.
Yes!
Ouch. The Doctor Who podcast would no doubt say that this episode is absolute rubbish, just because it has the name Russell T. Davis attached to it, apart from the very, very thoughtful and knowledgeable Trevor Gench, who is the only one of that team that didn't just say how wonderful and perfect and no errors whatsoever in The Angels Take Manhattan. Because, of course, there was nothing wrong with it at all. It was just a perfect story by a perfect writer. Apparently. So, A Partners in Crime begins with Donna wandering through a street with a red book, and the Doctor wandering through a street with a big, long trench coat on, with some very interesting music. Obviously, if Reese was here, he would mention
the music.
Very distinctive.
No, I like it.
Probably the most distinctive... The most distinctive background music we've actually had in New Doctor Who.
Light touch. It's also reminds me a bit of City of Death, style.
Yeah, very true. Maybe that's sort of a little bit of a homage type thing that.
The music played throughout the episode is all very recognizable.
And any time I see any show that's set in Paris, the music from City of Death goes through my head.
Same here. It's so distinctive.
They infiltrate the Adipose building where there's some sort of seminar where this lady with glasses is saying how a little pill can basically take weight off people.
Just walks away.
Yeah, well, literally, as we found out later on in the story. So they're both in there. The Doctor's got in via his sonic screwdriver, and I think, I can't remember how Donna got in, but she got a pass, didn't she, somewhere?
Yeah.
No. Well,
I think she's just got a driver's license. Yeah.
All right.
Well, there's actually two things going on. You see her flashing what looks like a driver's license, but this time watching it, she actually worked at
occupational health and safety or whatever.
Health and safety. Yeah, she actually worked at health and safety for 3 days
for two days, kept
the pass.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
With their mother at the table?
That's the Doctor's watching in the
part of
in
what's
the projection
going
room.
On when she's talking with her mom a little later on.
Right. That went right by me,
But the Doctor's watching in the projection room and just shows his psychic paper to so as he can carry on watching when he's questioned.
And I like how he says movie division or something.
Yeah.
Health and safety movie division.
Yeah. We've got a journalist in there, looks a little bit like a cross between Tish and Martha.
Yeah, and
she has the name of what the companion was going to be named.
Which is? Ah! I thought you were going to come up with the answer then. That's fascinating. I don't know myself, but there you go. So this is another little... See, are you going to Wikipedia it up, are you? so that, anyway, they end up in this sort of office.
Only got 5 hours of sleep.
Never mind that.
And
they're both in the office area in the little cubicles. Donna has her free gift, which is a necklace, and the doctor
Penny
has
Carter.
Thank you. The doctor has a free gift, which is a necklace, which looks a little bit like a pill, doesn't it? Is it supposed to contain the pill? I don't know, but
No. It's the transmitter device.
I know what it is. I'm just saying what it's supposed to look like.
It's supposed to look like a little capsule.
Yes,
capsule. I like that. Yeah.
So quite a clever scene where they're all standing up and just shouting over things and sitting down, just as the other one. Surely they'd be able to hear each other. But never mind.
Not necessarily.
Whispering.
The doctor would be able to hear. The doctor would be able to hear Donna. I don't think maybe Donna would be able to hear the doctor, but yeah. So
and you have to remember, Penny is also in this room doing the same thing at the same time.
Oh, very good. But anyway, it's still pretty good. I mean, and it's feasible, and I like the way they choreograph it. Very good. Yeah, sorry, I got a bit.
RTD's, I think, has got a flair for comedy, hasn't he?
I think Moffat has as well. To be fair to both of them. But
yeah,
I mean,
this one is very light and very.
Yes, I think this episode is one of the best episodes of Doctor Who ever. I know I've said that in a few of them, but this is outstanding. This episode.
Oh yeah, I agree.
Partly because of the brilliance and the chemistry between Tennant and Tate, but
which is immediately apparent.
Yeah, but it works so well because of this story and the way that they build up. To that scene, obviously, which is the masterpiece of them at the windows.
Yes.
Has anybody written a transcript of exactly all the things that they say? Because some things I can't.
Yeah, I'm sure they have. Yes, they're available.
Oh yeah, I was reading one just last week.
Oh. Yeah, well, you can make. You don't even have to need a transcript.
I don't know.
You can
I don't
see
have
what
any
they
trouble
say.
Understanding them.
No, exactly. But anyway,
some things I do. But doctor, you know what they're talking about, though.
The doctor goes to visit one bloke. And Donna goes to visit some woman.
Stacey.
Yeah, and they're both sort of taking these tablets to lose weight. And there's a cat flap, isn't there, at the bloke's house, which the doctor's a bit suspicious of. Brilliant shot through the cat flap. Yeah, go on.
But did you hear the reference to, what's it called, survival? This is talking about certain types of cats.
Oh, yeah, yeah. I thought he was referencing the cat creatures from New Earth.
He was.
Maybe. Yeah.
Well, don't matter.
Yeah, but he was. People nowadays new viewers wouldn't know anything about survival. I didn't see survival until about a year and a half ago.
Hmm.
Yeah, but
I still don't know anything about survival.
No, fair enough.
But
anyway, so meanwhile, while the woman that Donna's visiting goes to the toilet, because she's had a bit of a rumble, Donna starts twiddling with her little pendant thing, which then sort of alerts...
Donna Noble, murderer!
Is it Miss Foster? I think it is, isn't it? So she inadvertently kills, and obviously long-term kills the woman upstairs in the bathroom.
Stacey.
I have a question here, and of course, you know, this is probably really minor in the universe of Doctor Who, but just as that guy is so mystified as to what happens at that time in the morning, it's like nobody has a clue what happens, and yet when it starts happening to them while they're awake, it's major. So I wonder why it doesn't wake them up.
Good point. Why don't people notice
a blue police box disappearing and reappearing?
All right. So anyway, Donna is at the hub of the activity while the doctor is running around with a strange gadget trying to sort of find what's going on. Turns up a bit late, I think. So, and of course, there was a scene where the last remnants of Stacy jumps up on the window sort of sill and sort of waves at Donna before jumping away, and sort of the expression on Donna's face is quite funny. And of course, then the Doctor and Donna are sort of running around the streets again at night, and it's looks like my mate's road in Penarth again. Which is where the Doctor gets shot by the Daleks, the same road. Certainly looks like it anyway.
With fewer cars when he gets shot.
But there's like a back lane, which is nowhere near that, I hasten to add, with some sort of rubbish bins down, which look like the old fashioned corrugated sort of iron rubbish bins, like Top Cat would have been living in. Which obviously
I don't think anyone ever uses those anymore.
No, not anymore. It's usually plastic biffer bin type things now, aren't they?
Mm-hmm.
But it's quite interesting that they all look brand new, even though they're tipped over on their side. Of course, the taxi driver turns
up. Did you
up.
Notice there in 2 seconds, and it cuts away, the lane is lined with orange trash bags, and then you cut away, and it's all rubbish bin.
No, I didn't see that.
Yeah.
Well done.
You're right.
Well done.
I think they're trying to sell the idea, though, that they were sort of knocking things over and that.
No, but it's well spotted. Unlike you, Kirby, to be so observant. And then obviously the taxi driver turns up to pick up Stacy, because there's no more Stacy. Meanwhile, Miss Foster is.
Did you notice something about the cab?
The little sign in the window. The little sign in the window.
What, Atmos?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I did notice that. Thank you for picking it up, and I'm quite glad it was there. Because it's a bit like the thing where we had the Vote Saxon signs, didn't we, in various episodes of Doctor Who.
We're also back to the orange trash bags in the alley.
Yes.
the strange thing about Atmos is that here in the southeast United States, that is a energy supply company. They supply natural gas homes and businesses. So we have Atmos signs all over the place.
So there's going to be a lawsuit coming along somewhere along the line.
You would have think that the BBC would have checked, wouldn't you?
Yes, you would.
It doesn't matter because they're in Britain.
Yeah, right? Say they'd have to check all over the world.
Yeah. About
thing, it's a new invention called the internet where you can investigate such things.
But Mary, they do check for like professors and that, names of professors and doctors, because even in overseas, that's what they used to do.
Really?
Yeah, because they don't want to get into trouble with, you know, like having a mad professor with a certain name and then it turns out to be a real person. They are pretty careful, yeah.
Oh, I found a transcript of the miming scene. It's on the Internet Movie Database page. Quotes. I will put a link on the 20 Megabyte Doctor Who podcast Facebook page.
And now I forgot what I was going to say. Baby. Bam!
Sorry.
Completely forgot.
Notes?
No!
Well, we got as far as the cab comes by to pick him up, and then we got distracted by the trash.
It was about there was a scene where Miss Foster was watching.
Oh, Race is
checking.
Online.
Oh,
Race!
The more the merrier.
Oh. Right, anyway. Hello. Hello. Is that Mr. Reese Parton?
Hello.
Hello. Right.
Peace.
Hello, Reese. I'm not going to. No, shush.
Hello, Reese.
I'm just going to.
Oh, did you hear that?
Why? Did you let one go?
Yeah, I was farting. I thought you said he's farting. Oh, you said. Oh, right. Okay.
Right. Sorry, Reese. I just have to go back to where I was before now. I just wanted to say, because you were talking so much, we actually went past a bit where Miss Foster is checking the security footage, which is obviously there's like a 3 second gap between shots like there is at our place, which is not much use really for security because anything can happen in a 3 second interval.
Yeah,
right? So Donna goes home and sort of gets a bit hacked off with her mum's constant mithering, and decides to go off and see Grandad, which is of course a bit of a treat because that means we get to see Bernard Cribbins.
Yes.
Yes, again.
Has anybody seen the original scenes with the guy that they shot with?
Yes, they're on, where are they?
Well, they're on the DVD.
On the DVD somewhere.
Yeah. Really, yeah. Are they? Well, I didn't know that.
Are they on the main disc, or are they on the confidential disc?
I don't know.
I can't remember to tell. I don't think they're on the confidential disc. I don't know, maybe. I know I've seen them, and they're
on
the
disc. Yeah, I've seen them too. And
I think it's dedicated. It might be on the, the episode's dedicated to him at the end.
Yeah. Well, I'll have to look out for that. I don't know about that. meanwhile, yeah, so they're sort of just talking about, because obviously he's talking about his love of space, and she's talking about the fact that she sort of wants to get out there, and they sort of didn't quite mention to each other that they both met him at this point, did they?
Yeah.
But the chemistry between
they're on the main disc. They're on disc one of the series. It says Howard Atfield deleted scenes. It's under special features.
Oh, cool. I'll have to look out for that. And you say that's on the which disc, sorry?
Disc one of the series.
Okay. Thank you very much.
Wouldn't it be disc two? Because that was the one.
Wait, is this disc two?
Episode on?
It's in the drive. I can't see what it is. I have to go across the room to see the
rest. It is disc two, because disc one has Voyage of the Damned and Time Crash on it.
Yeah. Well, excuse me.
I know that because I put disc one in earlier on and think, oh darn, I'm going to take it out.
And usually these discs used to say what disc number they were when you put them in, and this one does not. It simply says episode selection.
Okay. Anyway, back to the episode itself.
Oh no, it says disc two. Never mind. In the lower right of the main menu.
Yeah, thank you. So anyway, we're talking about the car thing that Ian was alluding to. The next scene after Donna and Grandad are having their midnight sort of thingy, the TARDIS appears behind Donna's car. So that sort of
right after she talks about looking for the blue box.
Indeed. So yes. Donna and the Doctor return to Adipo's headquarters. Much the same way as they entered it the previous time.
Yeah.
They
wait all day in various.
Yes. Anyway, yes.
Yeah.
Don't they ever clean the restroom?
Yeah.
And does anyone notice that the way the Doctor goes in, that hallway looks a lot like Rivers Prison?
The Millennium Dome.
Because it is.
Exactly.
And it also looks like in Doomsday, where they're all running along the corridors with Torchwood.
Yeah.
Yes.
It also looks like in
something.
The original. The original Donna story down
with Runaway Bride.
Runaway Bride.
Yes. Okay. Well, obviously, we know why.
Building, wouldn't you?
Yeah, you think eventually.
Well, it's Wales. There's not a lot of things going on in Wales, and
it also looks like the underground base where Dalek was filmed. For some reason.
Thank you, Kirby. Anyway, so you know he's saying about they decide to sort of sit in various places for a whole day. You would have thought, they'd take an iPod or something like that, just to sort of take away the hours of boredom.
Yeah. Hours.
Mm-hmm. I think Donna was all right. She was in the toilet, so at least she needed to go. She could, go to the and of course, Miss Foster then sort of starts sort of trying to open up each cubicle while the Doctor...
those machine guns look mean.
They did, yeah.
The Doctor... Well, at least the security guards don't have the problem that Sarah Jane's son has going into the ladies.
Yeah. Right, anyway. There
was something about those two that was just weird. Do you think they were mind-controlled of some sort?
One of
the guys had a funny smirk on his face when she was at the desk and they're standing beside.
Okay. But I'm just saying, because you lot were talking, I missed the bit where, Miss Foster was going in the toilet and she was trying to open all the doors and stuff.
She
and
was
then,
going in the toilet?
She's, be quiet, she got distracted because she didn't find Donna. Hello?
Was she looking for Donna, though?
No, she wasn't looking for Donna.
Was she not? Well, no. She was in there with her two
cronies.
No, she was
looking for the...
Well, no,
she was
they were going out that other reporter.
The reporter. Yeah. And she found the reporter. Sorry, because you got me talking. I completely...
Because you're made to think that it's...
Thank you. Just wanted... What was that noise? Somebody just knocked a microphone.
No.
No, I'd probably
not. All right.
Standing over cleaning something.
Oh, I see. Not the best time to clean something, but never mind. Okay. So, yeah, they've got the reporter girl, and the doctor is in the sort of lift car outside the building with a sort of stethoscope attached to the window, trying to listen. And this is that marvellous point where the doctor wants to get at what, you know, what the pill is, I think, isn't it? And he sort of just raises up exactly the same time as Donna does at the window.
The transcript is already on the 20 megabyte Doctor Who podcast.
That follows the best scene ever in Doctor Who.
Well, yes.
I was worried you'd already talked about that, because I just wanted to mention how wonderful Catherine Tate was in there.
Oh, yeah. Well, they're both wonderful.
Yeah, but what's the last word of that scene? Run!
Run, yeah, yeah,
of course. Which also is one of the most popular words in Doctor Who, invented by the second Doctor, of course.
Yeah. When I say run, run.
Yeah. That's quite good, Robert.
Now, Jamie.
I'm impressed. Jamie. I can't do it. I'm not even going to try. Anyway, right. So, yeah, the shooting machine guns at a wooden door.
Yeah. Why didn't they just kick that one down?
There's only five stories that were ever done at Millennium State. And I'm sure, I think this database is out of date. It says Dalek,
Kirby,
Runaway Bride, and Partners in Crime.
Kirby.
Yeah.
Moved on.
Doesn't matter.
Yep.
The Doctor and Donna then meet in the stairwell, and they forget that they're running away from being chased for a few moments while sort of saying hello, and they decide a good place to run is the roof. And of course, they go in the lift car thing, and then of course there's do something.
Speaking of natural gas, this was the headquarters of Helmont House. British gas in Cardiff.
Natural gas. Magic has not broken wind, Kirby. I don't know what you're going on about natural gas.
I was thinking about race.
Oh, yes, of course. Yes, yeah. Anyway, right, so, yeah, the lift car thing, and they, I don't know, does she sort of use a little sonic thingy-jig to sort of cut the cable?
Who's bumping the microphone?
And I love the way the doctor says, you know, well, this will be fine unless she's got a sonic device, which, of course, the very next scene, she's walking out there with her sonic device.
Yeah. And of course,
you know, there are times when writing like that, you could kind of roll your eyes, but in this case, it just was fine.
Yeah, I know. Yeah, yeah, I know. It just
and of course, when Donna's hanging from the cable, and that sort of dialogue between the two, two of them on that particular scene is fantastic. Hold on, I am holding on.
She hasn't got much of a choice, has she?
No. Fantastic.
Mind you, what did the doctor say he put around the controls? He put some sort of sonic lock over it.
Yes.
How does that make sense? What the hell is that?
Clever.
Well, so only his sonic device can control it is what that's about. And that's when he says, you know, unless she's got a sonic device, which of course she does. Yes.
But the special effects
here. And then she deadlocks the building, which...
Yeah.
Good old deadlock. Yeah. But the scene where you're looking down at the thing is fantastic with Donna dangling in the background and him climbing up the cable. Brilliant special effects love it. Although, obviously, in real life, you'd never be able to hang on for that long, I don't think, even though it's a nice thing to hang on to.
Right.
And she's wriggling around a lot, which won't help the thing either. But doesn't matter, I suppose, does it? Maybe the Doctor Who podcast minus Trevor Gench probably would say it does matter, but I don't think it does. It's just good fun story. You'd see that in cinema all the time, don't you? Things that people couldn't possibly do.
James Bond, for an example.
Oh, yes, very, very true. James Bond is very much like a dream sequence sometimes. So some of the chase scenes where they chase over building sites,
what
you know, up
you
cranes and stuff. Well, it's the only thing you could actually do in a dream. In real life, you'd fall. He dreams
James Bond.
Oh, be quiet.
Yes.
So the Doctor and Donna get cornered by Miss Foster, and the Doctor gets out of it by saying, "What happens when you put two sonic devices together?" And but it incapacitates.
He just happened to catch her sonic device as it was.
Yeah,
falling,
yeah, yeah. That's right.
Brilliant.
Yeah, it was. Yeah, it fell for a long time, but I don't mind. It's all right. It's fine.
He has a different gravitational field around him.
Again, we're in the Millennium Stadium, running through the corridors of that. Yeah. He pointed it out. But yeah, the fact that, you know, when they use the suit, if you use the two sonic devices together, it's a bit unusual that they were the closest to it, and yet it was the rest of them that were incapacitated by it.
Yeah. But yeah. Also, only one thing well, Sheffield as well. The rest
well,
of
she's
the,
not a Time Lord together. Yet.
Yeah.
So
wibbly wobbly tummy wimey.
Yeah. But anyway, so there's this a cupboard where there's some sort of weird gadget.
I love
thing.
That the reporter keeps getting captured again.
Yeah.
Oh, you've got to be kidding me.
It's a shame that
I like the way that the gadget in the cupboard has an organic look and
yes.
it's got like rib cage. And
Yeah. That's good. Yeah. I totally agree. Well designed, yes. But I was just saying that it's a shame the reporter wasn't Sarah Jane, but of course if they put Sarah Jane in this one, being Donna's first story, that it would have rather detracted from Donna, really. So, but they could have used Sarah Jane in this story, but I'm glad they didn't. So anyway, Miss Foster basically decides that it's time to speed things up a bit in the adipose birth line, and load of people start shedding adipose, and one in front of Donna's mum. So
nice girl.
After the doctor has zapped the two guards, which he killed.
Yeah.
It's very.
No, and another murder by the doctor.
Yes, I know, it's disgraceful. I'm not watching it anymore.
Not necessarily. You don't see what happens to them. They just got zapped.
You do. They all go. Blah, 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 blah.
They go. Oh, I know. They fall to the ground. Maybe they're just shocked. That's all, and it knocks them out.
That's a big assumption that they died.
Yes. Oh, my God. Saved by Robert. Well done, Robert. Saves
the
reputation of the doctor there.
They're still alive.
Yeah. So, that stops, obviously, all the people from dying. But there's still enough adipose.
And we
don't
see them again.
And then we have...
dead.
Third encounters of the first... what's that thing called again, that film? Close Encounters of the Third Kind, that's the word.
It does look like it, doesn't it?
Yeah, so we have...
That's what I kept on thinking.
Well, I enjoyed when that big, I guess it was a taxi, pulls up in the street really fast.
Squishes a few of them.
And you can hear the squish of the adipose.
Yes.
as he drives over them.
I didn't hear that.
I love the music, the cat flap.
Yeah. Anyway.
What about Wilf's looking up at the sky and then the ship's going behind him?
Yeah,
that's what he's looking for.
That's what the bit I was alluding to, that the fact that you saw that him in the foreground in the background the spaceship, and he didn't get to see it.
Looking in the wrong direction.
The doctor gets to the rib cage machinery and finds out that that they actually won't be needing Miss Foster anymore.
Isn't it an inducer or something?
Because
we're talking about induction. It's an inducer to make them give birth,
Yeah. Very good.
Well, and I also enjoy Donna's mother, when the starship arrives and everything is going crazy, and her response is, what is it this time? Alludes to all the times London seems to be getting hit.
In Voyage of the Damned, the way everyone leaves London when it comes to Christmas.
Yeah.
What is it this time?
Anyway. So he realises, the doctor realises that they won't be needing Miss Foster, decides to go and try and save her. Again, we have a Mr. Bean moment with her standing in the spotlight.
Yes.
And also, and she is sort of like half beamed up. Now, there's a bit here where she's sort of half beamed up. And the doctor says, well, they won't need you anymore. Come over here, sort of thing. And she, I'm not going to fall for that one. You're going to arrest me, sort of thing. And then the beam stops and she hovers in midair before falling. Now,
I think that
can be explained away with residual uplift.
Yes.
I think it can be explained away by the fact that she may have once come from a Warner Brothers cartoon.
That too. But again,
by the way... By the way, that scene, filming of that scene is available on the confidential cutdown on the last disc.
Yeah. Because wasn't she just standing on something and then she just dropped?
Yeah.
Kind of thing.
No,
but they did film it on the roof.
Oh, right. Okay, good. But anyway, so that's more or less the end of the story, because Donna decides, right, I'm coming with you this time. I'm not going to let you go this time. And
wait. That reporter showing up with still tied to the chair.
Yes.
Oh, yeah. Be quiet, man.
You're mad.
Oh, completely and utterly insane.
That's right, while she's running around with a chair.
Anyway, so Donna's got her car already packed for the TARDIS, and the Doctor's a bit cool about the fact that she's got a hat box.
If things had been a little different, we would be referring to the companion for this series as Penny.
Yes.
So.
Penny? Oh, okay.
And then we could go, Penny, Penny, Penny.
Kitty, little ball of fire.
I like the dialect version of it.
Never mind. Anyway, so this is the bit where another fantastic line from the story, which is, I just want to mate.
You want to mate?
No, not mate. Sunshine. I mate.
I love the way she says it. Not mate with me, sunshine. No, a mate, a friend.
It's fantastic.
Well, he never does actually use that particular word. He keeps using mate. Why does he use
it? I mean, it was a lot of this during this series, though, wasn't it? And it's just why it was such a shame it was only one series we had this partnership. It just works so well.
Yes.
But I don't care what the Doctor Who podcast says. This is my favourite series of Tennant, this one. Love it.
Yeah, this is
In a lot of the scenes where they're filming in rain, they tend to stand there in the rain. Then this particular one at the end, they apparently have a roof over them somehow, but they're not getting...
Yeah, because otherwise his hair wouldn't be sticking up, would it?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, and I would disagree with you, Adam. Every time I hear conversations on other podcasts about companions, everyone, it seems, goes back to Donna as the best companion.
No, what I'm trying to allude to is the fact the Doctor Who podcast...
quality of the show.
Just anything Russell T. Davis, apart from Trevor Gench, anything Russell T. Davis-wise is rubbish. And and anything Moffat does is superb, apart from... What's the only one they...
He's amazing, apparently.
Beast Below. Beast Below is the only thing they say that's not really good of Moffat. But like I say, I mean...
One of the things that happened... One of the things with Donna that everyone noted is that we went in not expecting her to be a very good companion.
Yes.
And
she's
on the top of everyone's list as one of the absolute best. Yeah.
I will say, though, when I heard Catherine Tate was going to be playing the part, I was quite pleased because I knew she was quite talented. But other Doctor Who fan friends of mine were furious, and then of course when she went on she proved me to be right, so I was quite pleased.
Have you ever seen the thing from her show, from her comedy sketch show, where she's the school girl?
Yes, I've seen that, and Tennant is the teacher.
That's funny.
But have you seen that? Did you ever get to see from the I think it was a Friday night project, was it a Sunday night project? Well, I don't know which version of the show it was, with Justin Lee Collins and Alan Carr, where she played Tennant's doctor and Alan Carr played Donna, I think. So she actually did impression of Tennant's doctor on that show.
You should put that on the Megabyte page.
I don't know if it exists.
Back with Partners in Crime, we've completely ignored the little surprise at the end.
Because we haven't got to it yet.
Did you see the Doctor Who Nevermind the Buzzcock special? It has David Tennant and Bernard Griffin.
Is that the one
there.
Where is that the one Tennant presents and he says keeps on going Barrowman all the time?
Yep.
Put it on the thing. Put it on the Facebook page.
Yeah, okay, fine. Yeah.
Yeah. Good on you.
Yeah, that was another wonderful combination, was Tennant and Barrowman.
Yes, it was. Yeah, it was. Anyway, yes. Where did we go up to? Sorry. Yeah, so that was again brilliantly done. The fact that it's a bit silly that you wouldn't really put the keys in a bin, because somebody would empty the bin, wouldn't they? But did you forget that, because it led up to that brilliant scene. I mean, it was so good, the way she turns back to the camera and the music changes and then she walks off and disappears. Mm-hmm.
That was a case where the fans saw that in a preview and it didn't really get out too much.
Yeah.
I mean, it was out there, but you really had to search for it.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I didn't have the internet back then, so I wasn't spoiled at all. I only got the internet in 2010, Kirby.
I got goosebumps when I saw that again.
I've been on the internet since 1992.
Jeez, your power bill must be quite a bit then. Don't you get any sleep, Kirby?
Speaking of nothing on the internet, I wasn't on when this season slash series, whatever you want, was broadcast, and I didn't know that Catherine Tate was coming back. I didn't know she was coming back, and I didn't have any problems with her in Runaway Bride, but when I got on online around about Matt Smith's first run of episodes, ignoring both of his words, I was amazed at the backlash that was presented to Catherine Tate, because I thought she was funny in the Runaway Bride, and then she got opportunities to do the dramatic scenes in this run of episodes, and she's just brilliant, I think.
Yeah,
she is. And she refers back to the Runaway Bride when she asks him, is he going to, you know, get rid of the adipose? He says, yes. Oh, why? You know, they're just children. And she says, well, you've changed. Not like last time.
Yes. Yeah.
Martha must have done you some good.
Somebody just stopped in mid-track. That was that you, Kirby?
Yes.
Oh, okay.
You said they drowned.
And I like the reference back to Martha.
Yes.
Oh, yes. Mm-hmm. Silly old
No man. Reference to Rose, but there wouldn't be because she was in it.
Well, no, there was. Because she asked him about Rose.
Oh, right.
Yes, she did.
Yeah. Oh, sorry.
A skinny blonde or something, didn't she?
Thank goodness for the thing called editing.
wasn't it? As Mary was saying, that final scene, Bernard Cribbins is just incredible in that. Just his joy and his excitement for her, but also his tinge of, I can't go with you. And it's the bit of happy yet disappointment at the same time. It's just
makes me think of Brian and, you know, his encouragement of the Ponds to, you know, go on and do this.
Oh, there was something on Tumblr where they took pictures of Brian and Wilf and wrote a little conversation between them, and they're talking about basically how their family are travelling with the Doctor, or have been.
Mm.
And I just thought that was very sweet.
Where were we?
Well, I'm in Cowes on the Isle of Wight.
Are we done?
Whowon.co.uk.
Okay, whowon.co.uk.
Whenever there's a pause, just throw that in there.
Yes.
Well, we hadn't been throwing that in there for a while, and I feel kind of guilty that we'd forgotten when they're so good to us. Yeah, Adam, why are they so good to us? Can you tell us?
Because we like Doctor Who.
No, you said something else recently.
Oh, I see. Are you alluding to the fact that they've renewed the sponsorship for another 6 months? Yes,
well,
that's Who Won.
.co.uk.
But the reason why they do this is because they're an Isle of Wight company, and we're an Isle of Wight, technically, podcast. So
part Isle of Wight.
And also, they do appreciate the fact that we alert the world to the existence of whowon.co.uk. Where you can buy certain items.
They do, indeed. Full-page ads, so.
Where latest products are such things as Pirate Planet audiobook, which is a CD, official doctionary. What? Oh,
Who reads the Pirate Planet?
Let's have a look. Tom Baker stars, of course, in this TV soundtrack. It's a TV soundtrack.
Oh,
it's like an audiobook.
Soundtrack. Who narrates it, though?
It sounded like Tom then. Oh!
Who's narrating it, though?
John Leeson.
If I can jump in here.
Yes, I thought so.
I've only got like 5 more minutes.
You can't jump in there because everybody's talking over you, Mary. Sorry.
I know, but I've only got 5 more minutes.
Welcome to my world.
And I'd like to know when we're recording next week. I won't be in town on Sunday.
Well, then it'll be Monday then.
So is it all right to do it again on Monday?
Probably.
Well, I'll be right again,
Unless I've got to take the dogs to have the haircut, it's probably all right. I'm not 100% sure what I've got to do next week. I know the week after.
You're not going for a haircut, are you, Adam?
Eh? Very funny.
You're not going for a haircut, are you?
Well, Reese, with the time change, does Monday work for you?
It
He was only about half an hour late, though, wasn't he?
Yeah.
Hmm. Anyway.
We'll see what happens.
Yeah, we'll see what happens. We'll aim for Monday, but if something comes along, I'll let you know.
Okay.
Right. Okay. Anyway.
And we'll be able to see. I assume we're going to be seeing Karen Gillan's first episode.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
She featured in the teaser, didn't she, next week as well?
She was all over the place. I'm surprised at how many lines she has in it when I was watching it the other day.
So I said to my wife, look, you know, that's Karen Gillan before she was Amy.
Anyway, back to Doctor Who. Back to whoone.co.uk that we were trying to give some sort of mention to.
Who's that?
Anyway, there's another product. There's another product that is coming out called the Doctor Who Official Doctionary, which is
official doctionary.
Yeah, that's what it's called. The Official Doctionary. It says the Doctor likes to talk a lot about anything and everything, and frequently about things that make no sense. It says on
the podcast.
Human brains. Here he explains some of the trickier concepts of time and space. Time Lord technology and the mysteries of the universe. This Doctor's dictionary is invaluable for budding time travellers and intergalactic companions. That's basically $9.99 little hardback book and has Doctor Who related.
Who wrote it?
By somebody. Justin Richards!
Before you came on, we were talking about that little extra piece that was the storyboard that Arthur Darvill talked about. I know you saw it.
Just beautiful. I loved it.
I did too. But Adam hasn't seen it yet.
Adam hasn't seen it.
Yeah, all right. No, but do you need a box of tissues, Reese? If we're going to talk about
Karen Gillan wasn't in it, so no. Oh, wait.
Can I go back to whoone.co.uk?
Sure.
You can go anytime you want to. Before they retract their sponsorship.
We're filling up time. DWM. For God's sake. Anyway. Where's magic? Magic!
Oh,
Doctor Who! Magic. Be quiet! Doctor Who magazine, 452.
Oh, it's magic!
Is out with a picture of Angel's Take Manhattan and the Power of Three. Yeah. Alternative covers. Dalek shoulder bags, priced at $19.99. Dalek key ring, priced at $2.99.
I'd like anything like that.
And sound effects Dalek set. At £86.94. Just some of the items you can get.
That's a clock. Hello, clock.
Hello, clock. We haven't heard the clock for ages.
Sorry, Nick. I did try.
Actually.
This is why we don't mention whoone.co.uk, because every time we try and mention and try and promote their website, it gets talked over. But that was whoone.co.uk.
Could we have a clock for sale, a 20 megabyte clock for sale at whoone.co.uk?
You want to make one? Go for it.
You asked me a question.
It's an idea.
You asked me the question.
I made a Doctor Who themed clock a year ago.
Well, surely when you ask a question, you usually wait for the answer. You did ask the question. The answer's no. There we go.
If you want to make it, Robert, you can go right ahead.
You can get a Dalek projection alarm clock from Who Wants
That. Oh, yeah, I've seen that.
For £23.
Thank you for that. Right, so that was, yes. Next week, of course, we're talking about Up Pompeii. No, sorry. With Frankie Howard and the very beautiful comedy. Madeline Smith. Hey?
That's a serious story next week.
No, I'm just saying Madeline Smith's in
it.
I'm saying Madeline Smith's in Up Pompeii. She used to be absolutely, completely nutty, completely, wonderfully beautiful. And
you used to be.
What was that? Will you stop banging the microphone?
Well, I've got to go now, so bye-bye, and I'll talk to you guys next week.
Bye, Mary.
Bye. We'll miss you. Bye.
I've got to put the dog's dinner on. Hang on. I've got to go to the kitchen. I'm going to put the dog's dinner. Bye, Mary.
Bye, Mary. Oh, she's gone.
She's gone.
What did you guys think of Partners in Crime then.
It was alright.
Isn't it? It's alright.
It's brilliant.
I actually enjoy it the more that I see it, to tell you the truth.
It's one that I will go back to and watch multiple many times. I will pull out the DVD and just watch that one.
Well, I reckon it is one of those sort of episodes, though. I mean, I just think it was just great comedy writing. All throughout. I mean, it maintained its nice sense of fun. I thought it was very good.
Yeah, and its intention. It didn't suddenly change to anything else.
No.
Reese, before you came on, we were talking about how you would know more about the music. Because there was new music written for this story, and it's brilliant.
You mean Donna's theme?
Yes. Well, not just Donna's theme, but
the light-hearted sort of music that goes through it.
Like in the very beginning when they're walking up to the Oedipus Industries building and stuff like that.
Yeah, that's Donna's theme, and I think it was kind of introduced in The Runaway Bride, but Murray did it again for this, obviously, because she's coming back as a proper companion, and it just fits her funny, fun-loving character, I think.
Yeah, I thought it was great.
Also, what did you think of the new title sequence music? It was a bit more rocky and upbeat.
I like it.
Yeah.
Oh, he's back.
Oh, you're back.
Yeah. And then they did rush the credits through. I don't like that bit.
Well, the bit at the end, it's a bit fast, isn't it?
Yeah.
But then you sort of have to keep pausing it.
I don't think it spoils the episode, to be fair.
No.
Anyway.
Yeah,
right.
It's a good one. It's very
news.
Good.
Angels Take Manhattan official ratings got a final figure of 7.82 million viewers.
Wow, that's not bad, is it?
I think you said million. I was worried there.
Final rating includes those who record the programme and watch it within a week. It does not include the BBC Three repeat, where around 300,000 people watched it, nor does it include those watching on iPlayer, which is over 1 million people watched it on iPlayer. Ooh. Isn't that amazing? Million people on a download facility. Well,
I think it's become very popular to watch online like that, though.
I mean, obviously the smart TVs and obviously iPads and iPhone, they all download. But it's still an amazing figure.
They should
bearing
all
in
count.
Mind that.
Yeah,
I think they all should all count. But the fact that and I always criticise the viewing figures in Australia and New Zealand just for the sake of it, but it's amazing that
there aren't that many of us.
I know, but more people download it via iPlayer than actually watch it in New Zealand and Australia combined, which is incredible. But
as I said, there aren't that many of us.
I know, I'm not criticising it really. Anyway, Eternity Clock is released for PS Vita, and the little PS Vita, little sort of handheld PlayStation thing, looks
like
really cool.
Like a DS, like a Nintendo DS.
Yes, but good old Sony, but I think most people get that sort of graphics on handheld things like
it's
Galaxy.
It's only available on the Vita,
Galaxy
is it?
Phones and Sony phones and stuff. Yes, it is at the moment only available on the Vita.
That's the only console I don't really have at the moment.
I don't have any of those.
The game features...
I've got an original Nintendo Entertainment System that broke a couple of years.
Wow!
That's
an antique. So it features Matt Smith and Alex Kingston, originally released for Sony PS3 back in May, but they've re-released it for the Vita. It's a shame it's only available in that particular console. There you go. I've still got the one for the Wii, and I haven't actually got around to getting through. I think I've finished episode one.
Do you like playing with your Wii?
No, Isabella generally plays with it. Nobody else gets a look in, but I've actually got the episode.
Well, the doctor likes playing with his Wii. The Pond's Wii.
Yes.
But it's funny to say that I did forget to get the Sonic Screwdriver Wii controller.
He's completely missing it.
I'm ignoring it. Anyway, the BBC have released a special scene that tells us the tale of, I didn't know this, what happened to Brian Williams.
Really?
And the departure of his son Rory, and it's all in storyboard form. And you can see it via a certain link which somebody posted on the 20 Megabyte Doctor Who podcast. Facebook group. I must have a look at that. Doctor Who goes ultraviolet. BBC Worldwide have announced that they are to utilise the new ultraviolet technology for future DVD and Blu-ray releases.
They can download.
Doctor Who Series 7 Part 1 box set, forming one of its initial releases to benefit. And this is quite interesting, actually, because...
that's a good idea.
No, this is quite interesting. This website, which is DoctorWho.net, I'm pretty sure it was an American website.
News.net.
Mm. And this particular feature says, Doctor Who Series 7 Part 1. Doesn't say season. I'm quite astounded. But there you go.
Copy that from
that's
BBC,
because
I'd
that's
say.
The correct way of
doing it. They just copied that from the BBC.
Just, if they copied it from the BBC.
Yeah, it's in the BBC, it would be right. The canon.
Correct. Yes.
But no, they're a bit mixed up there, obviously.
The BBC.
Oh!
All right.
Tarzan.
Has he just jumped off a building?
Yeah,
where's Tarzan? Tarzan.
No, it's Tarzan, not Tarzan.
It's Tarzan. No. It is Tarzan. I think in the film Tarzan, it's Tarzan.
Yeah, they had Tarzan on. Yeah, because they had it on.
Well, I'm not going to go down the pronunciations of some bloke that stands with Tarzan. No clothes on shouting, It doesn't really matter. Yeah.
Adam, did you mention what that ultraviolet thing does, though?
No, because you interrupted me. Ultraviolet. You know,
what it means is that when you purchase the Blu-ray...
you get the option to download a digital copy.
Yeah, so you can watch it on your iPad
which
or your...
Certain film studios allow you to do on certain... because we actually bought the DVD of Night in the Museum 2, and that has digital download with it. But you're only allowed to use it on three machines, apparently, or three computers.
You know, I've bought several DVDs with that feature, and I've never used that particular feature for some reason.
I do. I've got a lot of mine.
Yeah. The last one I did was the Avengers.
Isabella has them on her iPod.
I do
so
admit there are some things where we own movies on or TV shows on DVD where we don't watch them that way casually. We'll just watch them on Netflix streaming. So
that's a bit weird.
things like Sherlock.
There's no limit, is there? Is there?
But this sort of thing, it's I mean, obviously DVD and Blu-ray are going to be a thing of the past soon because everybody's just going to download them and, you know, films and play them.
No,
they're going to stream them. They're not going to download.
No, No, there'll be a mixture of both. People will want copies. Hard copies of.
I prefer their hard copies.
Basically, because you haven't got internet everywhere. You'll want to have them on your mobile devices. So, that's how it's going to go.
That's why I always support by buying the physical copies.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'll keep my physical copies, but no doubt there'll be a way. I mean, there was already ways of converting them to digital copies anyway.
There are. I wouldn't know anything about that.
Converting your own that you've already bought. Say, for instance, I've got Ambassadors of Death. There is a way of converting Ambassadors of Death into a thing that I can put on my iPad, for instance. And also the fact that, you know, things like Apple TV, where you can stream your iPad or iPod or into your TV anyway.
Oh,
just saying. I said things like
Welcome to the 20 megabyte Apple.
I didn't mention Apple, apart from his Apple TV. I said things like it, because no doubt there'll be other... No doubt Samsung will release Samsung TV somewhere along the line, which does exactly the same thing, but it's still a very good idea. I mean, the fact is, talking about this streaming thing, yeah, I can put the films on Isabella's iPod, and, you know, if Isabella didn't get car sick, she could watch the films on the iPod in the car. Or, you know, when we get up to Blackpool next week, we haven't got Wi-Fi connection, she can still watch a hard copy.
The hotel won't have Wi-Fi?
It's not a hotel, it's a caravan park.
Oh, okay.
Hotel. Yes, I have got Wi-Fi, but I'm not prepared to pay about £20 a week for it. When I got 3G connection
summer,
with my phone.
Even though we were tent camping, we had Wi-Fi that was free. You should talk to them.
Well, yes. I know some places do. The trouble is, it's free Wi-Fi. You have to go through certain systems and see, and it is restricted. You know, certain things you can't download on it. And certain
Adam can't look up porn.
There's still more news. Doctor Who Experience in Cardiff played host to two special guests. and the former blacksmith and Stephen Moffat, who were there to have their handprints immortalised in cement to become a permanent display at the exhibition. The Matt Smith and Stephen Moffat. I mean, Doctor.
Yeah, Doctor Who.
So really, not a lot of news going on. No confirmation. I've heard whispers of the likelihood of the show coming back in.
Actually, I thought they had their handprints immortalized in concrete.
Cement, it said on the thing. Maybe concrete.
Well, that's wrong, because concrete is a composite construction material. Woo-hoo! Composed of aggregate, cement, and water. See, you need the...
You silly.
And next week's episode is a Roman one, and they invented it, so.
Okay. I suppose that works somewhere along the line. Yeah. I haven't done the charts just yet.
This episode finishes on a bang.
Thank you. Yes, it does. I haven't done the charts because I forgot, but I'll try and compile them and put them in at the end of the episode. I do apologise, but I'll have a quick peek in a minute after I've done
that's
eBay.
That's what she said.
First one of the episode.
And it wasn't me. Woo!
Yeah, something going wrong there.
Had to get it in somewhere.
that's what she said.
And it begins.
Right. eBay, the most expensive item on eBay this week is actually quite good. It's a full-size Dalek. Nobody's put any bids on it, but
when are you
going to
buy it?
Nice.
Someone made it today?
I'm not going to buy it, not unless something comes up with a lottery, because it's £2,700. Let's have a look, shall we?
It's a fan-made one.
It's very nice. Magic!
Answer his question.
No!
I will answer the question. Right, anyway. Full-size BBC licensed new series Dalek comes with pro-built voice modulator. Also included are speakers, headset, etc. Blue eye and dome lights fully operational. Dome lights flash when connected to voice box. Very impressive and in superb condition. Stands over 5 feet tall and easily comes apart into 4 sections for transportation. Fits easy into large estate car or small van to be collected in person. £2,700 buys it. Call on Paul. Do you want to give that as phone number?
I'd love it.
Thank you for looking. Cash on collection, please. So, and where is that? Where is he situated? Wellingborough in the United Kingdom. It runs out in 29 days' time.
Oh, that's good.
Well, if I win some money between now and then.
Yeah. Me too, but it'd be easier for me.
The shipping would be a nightmare.
It's in this country. Anyway, right. So that's the most expensively listed item.
I won!
And I will say that is, one of the better most expensively listed items that we've actually had.
Yeah.
I don't believe this. I've just glanced down here, right? Have you seen my fish tank?
No.
Yeah. You must have seen it. It's a fish tank with a TARDIS, etc. You've seen it, right? This is on the eBay. Yeah. And I bought that. It was when I went to the shop to get it at Pets at Home. It was £35 with £10 off, make it £25. And now the little ticket on it saying a further £10 off. So I got it for a tenner on a special offer. Somebody's put it here. 45 brand new Doctor Who fish tank aquarium setup, complete blah blah pump, etc. 45 of them. And you can buy 45 of these things for £745. Plus £55 postage.
The hell? Is that a job lot or something?
Why would you buy 40? That's a job lot, obviously. 45 of them. Why don't you just sell them individually? Because it's worth buying. God. It's worth buying for a tenner, just for the little TARDIS ornament thing. Because I was always looking for a TARDIS ornament for my fish tank. And then, of course, I've got the fish tank as well.
Like we are, do.
Cool.
No, yes. I just need
every
some
day.
Fish.
I wonder where I can get one.
Kirby, are you being sarcastic?
Why would you think that, Adam?
No, it's not his job to be sarcastic.
It's a genuine concern.
Sorry, it's not what he's hired for.
Have you heard the podcast, Adam?
Look, Kirby was hired for his pedantry. You were hired for your interruptions. And Reese was hired for his innuendo. Mary was hired for a good look.
That's what she said.
No, I'm hired.
Stick to what your job is in this show.
He's also hired for bad jokes. Given
and also, Mary is also hired for intelligence as well. Right.
Now that was Ben's job.
What was? Intelligence, or... What was Ben's job? Sorry.
That's Mary's job.
Oh, right. Right, okay.
Adam, you got name-checked on the Staggering Stories.
Did I?
Oh.
Yes.
Oh.
What's the guy's name who did send in feedback? Nunny, what's his first name?
Andy Nunny
mentioned you in passing. Ooh. In his audio feedback at the end.
Why
of the
didn't he send me some audio feedback?
He mentioned it was apparently related to the last feedback he sent to us.
Yes.
Have we already done feedback?
Yes, we have, but I'm knocking feedback on the head because I'm fed up with the stupid noises. So we're not going
to correspondences.
We're not going to take in any feedback anymore.
Correspondences.
That's the front door.
Oh my goodness.
No, not from you, Magic. Not from you.
Get out. Go and get Robert. Get off me.
Get off. down.
So
I did warn you, Robert.
It just occurred to me, I was going down and looking at Ian's pictures of Donna's car.
I'm glad you said Donna's car. I thought you were going to say something else a minute.
And it's TARDIS blue.
Yes, I noticed that too. But did you check the registration? Was he talking about the registration?
That was Ian's job.
Yes.
I don't think, like I said, I don't think I would have been quite that.
You just do licenses, don't you?
No, he's getting that from the license plate. Registration, where it's registered.
But you just do driver's licenses, don't you?
No.
That's your specialist.
He does how many times?
I pointed out the car registration a few weeks ago.
Yeah, that's what I mean.
No, car registration.
Yeah.
I was wrong on the driver's license thing. Remember? I admitted it.
Today we bring you the Battle of the Pedants.
I just remember it was something to do with cars.
I went to... The dog's dinner was burning and I had to go and stop it from burning. By the way, Robert, I did warn you. Magic, no, was, I know it's a bit of a delayed reaction from him, but he is there ready to bare his teeth if too many interruptions do occur.
Ooh.
So just, you've been warned. Right, back to eBay. The most expensive item with bids against it on eBay this week is Doctor Who screen used prop, the Eye Medallion, relisted because no bugger wants it until now.
With a cheaper price or something?
I don't know what they originally listed it at, but it's actually got four bids against it, and it's £229. No, it's £200 and 29p, free postage. So that's the eye thing, you know, the little amulet thing from, or medallion, as they say on the advert. So that's the most expensive item with bids against it. The next most expensive item with bids against it is listed at £200, 33 bids. Doctor Who 10th Doctor Time Leech comic signed by David Tennant. Never heard it?
Ooh.
But £200.
No.
That'd be cool.
Interesting, the next one down there with no bids against it is for £200, Doctor Who Cyberman VHS cover with free robot prop head. Oh, very clear. Oh, I see what they've done there. Mm. So basically, they're selling the robot prop head, but you get the cover of a bit of artwork, basically, from the Invasion VHS video. And the third item with bids against it... The third item with... bids against it is something I had. I don't know, it's probably the same one, but Doctor Who Trial of a Time Lord TARDIS tin with free monster prop head. Oh, I see what they're doing again. It's a monster prop head. Why can't they just list the monster prop head?
It's a bit of incentive. You get a bit of bonus there.
Do you understand? Do you know what the monster prop head is on this particular instrument? It's a Vervoid.
Which one?
Well, I still don't
look
understand.
A bit rude, though.
They do. Well, maybe that's why, because it looks like something rude.
Yes.
No,
I can't believe they got away with that back in the day.
What, three monster puppets? Well, the thing is, on the previous one...
The Vervoids, if you have a look at them.
Yeah, I know, it is true. they did
it's
get
It's only
away.
As an I adult no that I look at it and about. Think,
no, thank you, Reese. But going back to the previous item, the VHS cover, the prop head on that one is actually a Cyberman from the... actually, from Tomb of the Cybermen, really, even though... But this Invasion is the video. So there you go.
Because the Invasion-type Cybermen are the ones that look like in Revenge of the Cybermen as well.
Yes. Very strange. It's also interesting to note that the little character options figures, the rare ones, are still being listed at nearly £200 a time when they cost £2 to buy, if you're lucky enough to find one. But there you go. So that's eBay.
Did you get around to watching the Ambassadors of Death DVD yet?
No, I do intend to try and watch
it
at some point.
I've seen it all, because I don't have it.
Kirby, what did we say to about this
last
one?
I've seen all the extras, all the things, and it's very odd hearing the three dead people.
I haven't watched it at all, let alone with the commentaries on it. But what I do remember is the fact that we were talking about somebody mentioning me on the Staggering Stories podcast.
Yes.
And then the door went. So, yes. Well, how again was I... mentioned
Andy Nunney's feedback in Staggering Stories.
He was talking about some math that he did with the age of Amy and Rory and stuff.
When he did the feedback to us, it was very similar.
Okay. Well, I suppose it's not. Did they know who I was? I mean,
no, they made no acknowledgement of you whatsoever. I think they just kind of glossed it over. I was just kind of listening. I was listening in the car last night.
I've never heard of them
it
either.
Just went
so,
by, it just went by me, and I said, wait a second, did he just say Adam Pearson? And so I quickly clicked on go back 30 seconds on the iPod. And, oh, yes, he did.
Have they got that feature, do they?
What feature?
Debbie. Go back 30 seconds.
Yes.
Did they have that feature?
Yeah.
Oh. What kind of iPod is this?
This is my iPod.
Oh,
Touch.
Yeah.
iPod Touch.
I've got an iPod Classic.
Oh, no.
So do I.
Well, they got two. The new system has an extra feature on it. No, I come to mention it. Because where has my phone gone? They've actually improved.
Time for the 20 megabyte Apple podcast.
No. They have actually improved the way it works on the new system. Can I just explain? Because people may be unaware, because people use iPods, iPhones, to listen to the show, amongst other devices. So it's quite important. But, if I actually... I'm not going
to
play
can
that
we
one.
Get
that's
Apple
the doctor.
To
be quiet. It's not to do with Apple. It's to do with...
So we can get free Apple products.
Basically, you know, or the old... Will you be quiet? The old method of listening to the show would have been via... downloading it from iTunes, perhaps, and playing it, or you could stream it from iTunes, whatever. Well, now they've invented...
You can download from Podbean, too.
Yeah, I'm not talking about... If you've got the... Magic! Magic! Magic!
No!
Right, before they updated the system, this is Apple, yes, before they updated the system, you would listen to a podcast via the music or the iPod setting on your phone, and then... just switch from music to the iPod.
Touch.
Yes, or iPod Touch. But with a new system, because they've just released the new iPods, which will probably be the same, you have a new app called Podcasts. So it's a completely separate thing from music. So it will remember where you last were in your music playlist while you're playing a podcast. So that's really, really good for a start. But also, when you play your podcast, for instance, I am now playing via my phone an episode of the 20 megabyte podcast, as you can hear, yes, on my phone. You've got back 10 seconds. Was it forward 10 seconds? Hang on. Forward 10 seconds. No, it's back, sorry.
Hello.
Yes. Hello. Yep. So you can go forward 30 seconds or back 10 seconds. So the fact that you could...
If that's on the new iOS, I'm not going to get it on my iPod Touch because my iPod Touch is too slow.
I know.
Or too old.
I know.
Too old.
I know. Yes, that's fine.
And the new iPods, they're only getting the touch and the shuffle. No, the, what do they call them?
They've renewed all the other ones. They've renewed
they're
all
not with the classic ones, are they?
No. It's the iPod Touch, the iPod Shuffle, and the iPod Nano. All got new. But they won't work on the iPod Touch and iPod Nano and the iPod Shuffle anyway. This is to do with the iPod Touch. It's a new feature with the iPod Touch. The podcast software.
Very useful. I reckon that would only be good, the iPod Touch, just for like podcasts. There's not enough room on there. I put everything on my iPod.
Depends what one you get. Yeah, I know. The iPod Classic is 250.
The whole 160 gigabytes.
Oh, it's 160 gigabytes. Stuff.
On but my iPod Classic.
Robert, an iPod Touch is essentially an iPhone without the phone.
Yeah.
Yes, I do know that, yeah.
Yeah.
Because my son's got one.
It's a very useful piece of kit, the iPod Touch. My daughter, Isabella, has my old iPod Touch, and she loves it to bits. You wouldn't
do
without
it. That's why I don't have one, because...
Why didn't you send it to me? I could have used it.
Second generation iPod Touch. But, yeah, she loves it. My wife has an iPod Touch, which she loves dearly, and my daughter used to have one, but she broke it. That's Alicia, and she uses her iPhone.
We had to replace my youngest daughter's MP3 player for her birthday, because she broke her last one.
Too much listening.
Yeah. Well, we know, obviously,
she dropped it.
If my old iPod does die a death, Isabella is entitled to a new one, because she's never really demanded.
I thought you were saying if it dies a death, you're going to give it to her.
She's got it. She uses the iPod. But I think, you know, like I said about having movies on it, it could do with being a bit bigger, because it's an 8 gigabyte one.
Yes,
she could do with having a 16 gig one, really. My iPad, mind you, it's 64 gigabytes, the iPad, and that's got, I could put hundreds of films on there. It's
used by Digital Barbie.
Digital Barbie uses
an iPad. A certain time each month, Digital Barbie uses an iPad.
Really?
Yes.
Do you put shrimps on it?
Yeah. Very good, Kirby.
It sounds great, yeah.
No, it wasn't.
Yeah.
That's what you have for dinner every day, isn't it?
No.
No. Well, it's nice to have, though.
Yum. And you're coming into summer. You'll be using the Barbie a lot.
You'll be using it, yep. That's true.
I'm thinking of an American stereotype that you must have for dinner every night.
Anyway.
Yeah, fast food.
Somebody,
McDonald's. Yeah, I did have McDonald's for dinner last night.
On the 20 Megabyte Doctor Who podcast Facebook group, Kirby Bartlett Sloan posted an image of the Disney princesses dressed up as the Doctors, which was very cute. I did enjoy that. Isabella hasn't seen it yet, by the way. I'm trying to think if there's anything else. Oh, I was going to have a look to see a little hint about the charts, wasn't I? To see, yes, I'll do that, and then I'll do the actual charts later on when I've got time to compile them. So that's Evie Butcher's at the charts, Rory, iTunes. I just want to see if we may have moved up. If we're in the top 10, I might do the charts. If we're not, then might not. Let's have a look.
Doctor
Who. I typed it in wrong.
Is that a podcast? Oh.
We're on the verge of being in the top 10. Just a couple more to go. Ooh. Can it be that we're in the top 10? If not, I'm not going to bother doing it. I'm not going to bother doing it. Right, so there we go.
Well, where are we? Where are we?
Number 11.
Well, I'm in Australia, so is Robert.
We're number 11.
I've always thought it a little odd, if you've ever seen Help.
Help! I need somebody.
Leo McKern is that, and I consider him to be the best number two in The Prisoner.
Yeah, but Eleanor Bron's in it, and she was in Doctor Who.
Adam hasn't watched The Prisoner, though, so...
No, but I'm saying Eleanor Bron. Be quiet! Eleanor Bron.
Yes, that's right.
Is in Help, and she was in The Revelation.
City of Death.
Revelation. Oh, no. And Revelation of the Daleks.
Yes.
City of Death. She had a cameo role in with John Cleese. I was thinking about...
What was her name in that? Because she schemed to that guy. Very good, I think.
It was something or other.
What, that tall guy?
What,
the tall unknown guy?
A bloke with one leg. William Gaunt, who was in The Champions. Do you remember The Champions? No? Okay.
Have I got The Champions? I think I've got the series.
I used to like that. Champions.
I think I have, but I haven't watched it. I've never seen it. But I bought the DVD because it was only like $13 or something.
I'm trying to remember the theme tune.
To what?
Champions.
If I get the DVD set out, I could play
I
it.
I don't want the DVD set of the Champions. I did like the series. I used to watch it late at night when I used to live on my own in the days before... Well, the days when I first left home.
Left growing.
The days of being on the dole.
At least it tickled a rabbit.
I don't get out much.
Obviously.
I sounded like that last night listening to Sagarin's stories. It's alright.
Give up.
Ow.
That's the thing for the champion.
Oh, I've heard that.
Yeah.
I'll have to watch out for him when I watch it then.
Watch out for what?
The champions when I watch it.
Yeah. Anyway, enough of the champions podcast.
I look like I'm going to have to dig out my DVDs of Red Dwarf.
You know
I
what?
Did not realize...
Oh, yeah, it's back. It's back. There's two episodes already. Is it the third episode?
Well, no. This is the Doctor Who connection.
Oh, yes.
I did not realize when I first watched Red Dwarf, and yes, I own several series of Red Dwarf, that Mark Williams was in it.
Well, there you go.
Which episode do you know? Oh, it's... Ah!
The first episode.
I'll have to watch that again then.
Yeah, I need to watch that. I did not realize that.
But there's the new series of Red
Dwarf. I heard it on Staggering Stories.
10 out. Did you know that?
Anyway, back to...
Repeat.
New series of Red Dwarf is out now.
Yes, I'm saying about that. It's about Red Dwarf, the new series. I told my Sky Plus to record it. I've got episode one. It hasn't recorded any subsequent episodes. I'm really annoyed.
Second episode's already out.
And it's not on any blooming catch-up things.
The first one's called
Legion. I'll
have
to wait until it shows up on Netflix.
I hope it does, because I'm not going to get to see it otherwise. Unless they release it as a... Well, I don't want to buy a box set of it. I just want to see them off the telly. In the traditional way. Mm. Rufus Hound, a famous comedian in Great Britain, has tweeted the last Doctor Who missing scene thing I retweeted. I just totally made me cry. Brilliant. I didn't know he was a Doctor Who fan.
Yeah.
Mm.
Oh.
Yeah. I'm going to retweet that. There you go. I've retweeted it. So, anyway.
Adam, you might want to, before you start recording the podcast, you might want to review the 20 megabyte Doctor Who podcast Facebook page.
Yes. Might be a good idea.
Because
I had a quick look. I even had a quick look before I went on.
Because if I get a word in edgeways, because of obviously not being able to allow any correspondences into the show because of the fear of certain sounds appearing. So there's no discarding our web address of 20mb.feedback@gmail.com and deleting it, etc., for fear of such things.
We deleted it.
The only thing left, really, is the 20 megabyte Doctor Who podcast Facebook group.
Hello.
Not.
Yeah. Yes. Still here.
Nope.
We're just wondering what else you're talking about.
It's a shame, really, because I'm going to miss...
Feedback.
I'm sorry. I'm not having it.
Yeah,
I'm not having that noise anymore.
See what you've done.
send your feedback into the Who Is the Man podcast.
I don't think I started.
You did start.
I just went along with it.
No, send your feedback into the Who Is the Man podcast. They don't mind having funny noises on their show. Anyway. Reese Barton has mentioned on the 20 megabyte Doctor Who podcast Facebook group Doctor Who special of the Nevermind the Buzzcocks. He's posted a link to it. Thanks, Reese.
You're
welcome.
Thank you, Reese.
And as I say, Kirby has done the Partners in Crime. Memorable quotes.
Quime.
Jason Alquist says he stumbled on something via the IO9.
Didn't that hurt?
Billy Piper to make Doctor Who return.
Partners in Crime.
Yeah. It says Billy Piper is wanted to return to Doctor Who to celebrate the show's 50th anniversary next year.
Reese does, I know that.
I know. The 30-year-old singer and actress and Karen Gillan, who portrayed the titular Time Lords. What's titular? Titular Time Lord's companion, Rose Tyler and Amy Pond, respectively, are both in line to reprise their roles in cameo appearances on the BBC One sci-fi programme to mark the milestone in
spectacular
fashion. Now, this is going to end the show, by the way, because I'm going to go in a minute. But Emmerdale, which is a popular continuing drama on ITV1, celebrates its 40th anniversary. This week, and they're going to do a live episode to celebrate this. Coronation Street celebrated its 50th anniversary a couple of years ago. They did a live episode. Ooh. And EastEnders celebrated its 30th anniversary and did a live episode. Wouldn't it be good?
Bill did it too.
Now, I had an argument with Deb about this, that Doctor Who could do a live episode. She said, no, you couldn't do it with Doctor Who. But you could. Doctor Who can do anything. You could do anything with Doctor Who. I'm pretty sure you could do a live episode of Doctor Who without special effects, just with acting and the story and a plot, etc. I'd love to see them do that.
Like, you think of something like Inside the Spaceship or whatever it's called, Edge of Destruction.
Right. A live episode.
Edge of Destruction.
Yeah.
That could be a live sort of thing.
They could do something. And I'm pretty sure anybody who's capable of writing a live episode, Mr. Moffat is so capable. But I'm saying, and also there's talk about RTD coming back doing an episode. Maybe he will. Maybe he'll be involved in that 50th anniversary.
Hey.
What?
Yes, we don't know what
if he was involved in getting the show back, he'd better be.
Yeah, indeed.
Yes.
But they haven't mentioned anything about this, but I mean, that would be a perfect way of stopping spoilers, having a live episode for the 50th anniversary. Yeah. I mean, even if they had a regeneration, they could pre-film a regeneration and then just have the new actor just step out.
Matt Smith said he'd think that'd be an interesting thing to try out, so he agrees with you.
Yeah, I didn't know he said that. Sorry. But that's what I'd like to see, a live episode of Doctor Who, 50th anniversary.
Mm. Well, I think they could... Well, they don't have to have that as... I mean, they could have that as part of the series, I think.
No, I just think for one-off, and because it's going to be a big thing, and people will be looking for spoilers, the only way to completely cut off any chance of spoilers is to do a live episode. I don't think it'll happen.
Why would I? Huh? What? Why?
I said you wouldn't be happy because spoilers wouldn't be released.
Don't get upset, Kirby. He's only winding you up.
Poor Kirby.
He looks up spoilers all the time.
You can tell.
Yes, I do.
You can tell by the tone of your voice.
But if they're not there, so what?
He sounds slightly mortified by that remark.
I haven't looked up spoilers this series, to tell you the truth. Good. And I did last year.
Right.
You enjoyed it, he's just saying.
Steady on.
You were.
Yeah, so anyway, that's it really for this week's 20 Megabyte Podcast.
That's what she said.
Be back next week with the fires of Pompeii. And it's quite nice considering, obviously, we're just seeing the end of Karen Gillan, and now we're going to see her first appearance in Doctor Who.
It's going to be interesting.
It certainly will. And until then, goodbye!
Goodbye.
Go on.
Goodbye.
Goodbye. So long. Goodbye. Farewell.
Bye.
Right. Doctor Who Podcast is an ABPV Services production and is a proud member of the Doctor Who Podcast Alliance. Doctor Who is a trademark of the BBC. No copyright infringement intended. I did it!
As I incorrectly assessed our position in the charts at number 11, I thought I'd better do the proper charts. And here we go. Number 30, Staggering Stories. Number 29, The Time Vault. Number 28, The Big Finish Podcast. Number 27, The Preacher's Podcast. Number 26, Playing Doctor. Number 25, The Whostorian. Number 24, Police Box Paradox. Number 23, Who Review. Number 22, Geek It Out Over Doctor Who. Number 21, The Casterbros Podcast. Number 20, Doctor Who, Who's He? Number 19, Doctor Who, Prognosis Negative. That's a new one. Number 18, Doctor Who, After Buzz TV Show. Number 17, Doctor Who Review Today. Number 16, The Crinoid Podcast. Number 15, The 20 Megabyte Doctor Who Podcast. Number 14, Radio Rassilon. Number 13, Adventures in Time, Space and Music. Number 12, The Omega Podcast. Number 11, Mostly Harmless Cutaway. Number 10, The Memory Cheats. Number 9, The Pharos Project. Number 8, The 11th Hour. Number 7, Impossible Podcasts. Number 6, The Flashing Blade. Number 5, The DWO Whocast. Number 4, Tin Dog Podcast. Number 3, Radio Free Scaro. Number 2, The Doctor Who Podcast. And number 1, Doctor Who Podshock. Thank you for listening to the show. And to this bit, of course. See you again next week. Bye-bye.